Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio Network. We have a Today's Issues Facebook page you can check out where we're posting. What have you posted there most recently, Wesley?
Most recently, we have posted the Boy Scouts. Can you hear me good?
Mm-hmm. We were discussing. We can hear you in the back. Yeah,
in the back. Little person, you. Yeah. So we posted that. Then we, as I mentioned, we're Facebook Live. It's pinned at the top. So if you want to check out the streaming there and see the background here, you can check that out.
So you got the story about the Boy Scouts allowing girls into their organization.
Is that all?
No. We've also got... I like the way you did that.
What else have you posted?
We've also posted Stephen Miller's comments that say no citizens from a foreign land has a constitutional right to enter, and he explains Trump's executive order.
That's by the way, that guy is awesome.
I never heard of him.
Except
for the band.
He's going to be a great
spokesperson.
Great spokesperson for Donald Trump, the president.
Yeah, and then we have a couple other articles going out. I'm spacing them out on our Facebook page. The next one that's going to go out is the one with Todd Starnes talking about, you know, how important it is for now. It's the time to change from Boy Scouts to
Trail Life.
If you've supported the Boy Scouts and stuck with them,
You can see where that got you.
Yeah, you might want to consider leaving now because you come to the place where you're saying you can let a girl into your Boy Scouts just because they say they're a boy. Then
it's lost. That's a loss.
That's lost.
It's a lost cause. Right. So you know we advocate or encourage not only Christian parents to pull their boys out, take them to Trail Life USA. You can go to traillifeusa.com. It's a good Christian organization that scouting it is growing. But also, if you're a church, send the Boy Scouts down to the liberal churches, the Episcopal Church, and I know that's a little snarky. I'm not trying to be that way. But
come on.
It's
you're first and foremost a Christian church.
Right.
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 Right. So any organization that would meet at your building, who's going to advocate sexual
anarchy,
needs to be kicked out. That's my view.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before I mentioned this before in a different number of issues, specifically the letter that I wrote to Louis. Like, this is not a matter of Pastor Louis Giglio. This is not a matter of a difference in what genre of music you like,
what ice cream you like, strawberry vanilla. We're talking about fundamental elements of the faith.
If you won't draw the line here, some churches will say, well, we want to still trying to reach these young boys. I understand that.
Sure.
But where would you draw the line? How far would an organization have to go before you said, that's it, we can't align this church and the name of Christ with something that denies a fundamental teaching of the faith? I mean, you're not going to let atheists meet, are you?
Right.
I mean, the local atheist group. Maybe some churches will go, bring them on. We'll minister to all of them. But,
well, we've got that website, Trail Life USA, up on the Facebook page now. So those that have their children or their kids there, or boys there, then you can go check that out.
Well, Trail Life, we maybe need to have a representative on. They are what the Boy Scouts used to be.
Right.
That's a good idea. We haven't had them on in a while.
I'll write that down since I'm Walker today.
You are. You're doing a great job.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of the program. And we have a Today's Issues Facebook page. Check that out. Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com played tag team with Fred Jackson during the break. And Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Wesley. Good morning, Ed. And everybody on the East Coast where it's good afternoon.
Right. What do you got for us, Steve?
A lot of stuff happening on the Hill today. First of all, I'll just mention the top of the page at onenewsnow.com. That's onenewsnow.com. We are covering the Boy Scout issue, and we do also have Todd Starnes' column that Wes was talking about. And we have our poll question up. Do you suspect that Donald Trump will ever waver from his tough stance on illegal immigration? That's our poll question today at onenewsnow.com. So far today,
what do you think, Steve? How would you vote?
I think I would vote somewhat.
Do you have a somewhat in your question?
I don't know what.
Can you check somewhat?
I will have to find out because I don't think
you're
it's
the person
yes or no.
Who did the survey.
No, I got that from our web team actually. I'll have to ask Billy Davis what he intends to answers. He tends to put up with that. But I think
I thought that was a yes no.
Is somewhat up there?
I think it would have to. I just think that it's already we've seen, for example, the rhetoric on the campaign trail was we're going to deport all illegals. Now we're going to, you know, it's a more reasoned stance. We're going to, you know, ban all Muslims. Now it's not a Muslim ban.
So this is art of the deal, that basically he starts way out here on an issue and then walks it back somewhat in order to cut a deal with the opposition.
I think a lot of that has already happened. Yeah. I think pretty much we're getting to the point where he's cut the deals, and it's going to be fairly much like he's doing it, but some tweaks perhaps.
I think a lot of issues, Trump goes with the gut, and the gut may not always be the legal way or the most practical way or the most appropriate way to deal with an issue, but he fires off his gut feeling about something, and more times than not, his gut feeling expression resonates with the majority of the American people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you have one attack after another on our homeland by Muslim jihadists, then most people say, well, just stop them from coming here if this is what they're going to do.
Right.
Okay, that is a gut visceral reaction to a problem. Well, then somebody comes and says, well, you can't exactly do it like that, but you can do it another. What you're wanting to do is stop the Islamic jihadists from coming to our country. True? Well, let's do it this way. Let's start by cutting them off where they're coming from, the nations. You can deal with that because that's a passport from a country.
Right.
You can't just say no more Muslims in America, even though after another one of these attacks, that's how a lot of people feel. It's nothing personal against the individual Muslim. It's just that we all see with our own eyes, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all the terrorists are Muslims.
Right.
So, and we all see that and we go, we don't want this kind of thing happening in our country anymore, so stop it. Somebody do something to stop this problem.
And you see
what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think for President Trump to become more successful, I think he somehow has to learn to not fire off that first gut reaction to things. Because he's the president of the United States, and it causes an immediate international reaction.
Sure.
So if you can avoid that, unless he's trying to do it, which is maybe politically feasible, he may want to stir the pot. Unless you want to do that, if you can just not do that and figure out what the legal and logical way is to accomplish it, then announce it, I think he will find
boring.
Yeah, it's more like business as usual.
Boring.
Okay. Well,
wow. Dad's going to try to get him to moderate.
Not moderate his policies.
Okay.
Just call in his team and say, "This is what I want to accomplish. How do we do that in a way that's legal and will work?" Before saying, "I don't want any Muslims in this country." You cause a firestorm, and then you have to figure out how to accomplish what you wanted.
On the other hand, half the people who are aghast at having no Muslims in the country are now going, well, okay, maybe some vetting is okay. I mean, it's, you know, they're...
So you guys are turning on me. All I want...
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, if he stakes out 100% on an issue and people don't like the issue, they sometimes feel like they've won something if you get 75%, which is...
Well,
70,
that,
you
yeah,
know what I'm
if
saying?
It's art of the deal, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if he's going to take two steps back anyway, is what I'm saying, If that's what he's going to do anyway.
You don't tell him that's going to happen.
All right. I'm not a deal maker, so.
I wanted to update you guys also on some of the stuff that's going on with the hearings on President Trump's cabinets. We've got three cabinet members who have come out of committee today. Betsy DeVos in Education passed a committee vote. Ryan Zinke for Interior passed a committee vote. And Rick Perry for Energy. All were voted out of committee today and will go to the full Senate for confirmation later, maybe today. Jeff Sessions, I was listening to the debate, and he's still getting grilled, or they're still debating it, but I think that vote will go through. Where we've had some holdups, the vote for Tom Price at HHS and for Jeff Mnuchin at Treasury were supposed to go through today, but the Democrats walked out in protest, kind of boycotted the vote, so they couldn't, they didn't have enough people to vote or whatever, and they are delaying it by just walking out of the hearings. So that's kind of how they're approaching this.
That's real mature.
Isn't it?
Surely there's a remedy for that. Is that the way you can just shut down the government? Democrats just walk out of meetings and you can't
vote? I'm not a proceduralist. Right. I'd have to find out from someone who'd say, well, you can do that for 2 days. And
right.
Then you have to, surely that's not the way the Senate operates.
I think with most, there has to be at least one opposition party member present. I know they do this. I think they do this in the House during, if the Democrats decide they're going to filibuster something and they actually do the filibuster, or a Republican does the filibuster and everybody leaves, then they leave one person behind, I believe, just in case. Because this was one of the tricks that was played way back in. I remember watching the movie on the anti-slavery movie that they did about the guy in Britain that
William Wilberforce.
Wilberforce, and he hid all of his. He called an out of town meeting for all of the people opposed or in favor of slavery, and he hid all of his people that opposed slavery, and then snuck them in for a vote when the people couldn't get to there to oppose it. One of the ways
as much as the Democrats say they're worried about this president being xenophobic or anti-Muslim or whatever they accuse him of being, I'm more concerned about the liberals and the Democrats being for open borders. In this country, because the Democrats and the liberals, they only want to criticize you being President Trump and President Trump for being mean-spirited. That was the term that Chuck Schumer used against Donald Trump, mean-spirited. But they won't ever say, well, what are you going to do? Where is your line?
Right.
Is it for these liberal Democrats? If you push them, they don't have a definitive stopping point for illegal immigrants coming to America. They say we should welcome everybody from all over the world who are refugees or who have there are, somebody said 60 million.
If I could modify what you said. They believe that anybody should be able to come into this country if they are going to be Democrat voters, which they believe most of the people from the South are going to be. But if you look at their collective outrage that was actually non-existent when President Obama stopped the Cuban refugees right. from coming in, they tend to vote Republican.
Right.
And he put a ban on them. President Obama put a ban on them coming in, refugees from them, and you haven't heard a word.
No. Right. If you believe in open borders, you believe in the destruction of the country. And a lot of these liberal Democrats believe in open borders. They don't believe in Hillary Clinton. She said that in a speech she gave, which she hoped would never become public. She was for open borders. President Obama wouldn't say it that way. Most of these people won't say it that way. But in all practicality, they are for open borders. Now, the Democrat leaders in our country want open borders because they want as many Democrat voters to flood into America as possible. so that they can doom the Republican Party forever. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's their hope and goal. That's my
turn Texas blue, those
kind
of things.
Yeah. You get enough people flood in, you get hundreds of thousands and millions of people flood in who are used to socialistic policies, and they're going to vote Democrat, and they get registered, and they start growing in number, that'll be the end of the Republican Party. And that's the reason they're for open borders.
Right. On the converse.
We've got a guest, and you can come back.
Okay.
Steve. Hang in there, Steve. It's important, but we got a guest who's been holding. Ed, you want to welcome
our guest? Yeah, I want to welcome Emilio Ramos, who's pastor of Heritage Grace Community Church. We even invited Emilio onto the program, Pastor Ramos, I should say, to talk about the movie Unpopular, the movie. Pastor Ramos, welcome to the program.
Well, it's good to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
So I watched the trailer for this upcoming film. It looks fantastic. It seems to be a movie that I think the church, the entire church in America, needs to hear, because it is about repentance. It is about God's plan for reforming individuals, marriages, families, communities, I would say even countries. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Well, sure. We had our premiere night last night here in the Grapevine, Texas, at a local theater, and it was great. We had a packed house, and the entire crowd responded very good to the film. It's a gospel presentation that I wanted to put together for one specific purpose, and that is just to have a resource for the church that is uncompromised, undiluted, and very clear as far as what is the gospel and what is the message of Christianity. In addition to the film is basically the anchor point of unpopularthemovie.com, but the movie also serves to take people to the website. And the website is a resource in itself, because below the film itself, we have additional footage of scholars and pastors and various individuals who are going to be answering commonly asked questions about Christianity. So we have videos on the reliability of the Bible, videos on atheism, videos on the problem of sin, and so on and so forth. But that's what this film really is. It's amazing how challenging it is to try to get together a film for the sole purpose of communicating the gospel message, where we don't have any other angle, really, except for that.
Yes, and this is Wesley Wildman here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the title there, Unpopular. I know it kind of speaks for itself, but what are you alluding to in the video for our listeners that's so unpopular?
Well, you know, Jesus said that, you know, the world would hate us because it hated him. And there are numerous passages in the Bible that talk about Christian persecution, that talk about the fact that because of the condition of man, you know, because of sin, human beings in their sinful condition are opposed and hostile to the Christian message. And therefore, whenever you speak the gospel clearly and biblically, and you don't try to condition it in a way that, in a sense, makes sense to them or in a way that's popular, but if you just say what the Bible says regarding sin and repentance, that message will always be controversial. It will always be it's not going to be popular with our current culture. You know, it's not. You go to pop culture, you go to popular media, mainstream media, you're not going to get very far talking about what the Bible says regarding sin and the holiness of God and the necessity for repentance. Basically, we live in a country, as you well know, that is dominated by humanism and secularism. And therefore, when you present what the Bible says regarding man's condition, that he does not have the resources within himself to reform himself morally to the point that now he becomes acceptable before God, that message will be unpopular.
Hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, Steve?
I just have a question for you, Pastor Ramos. I'm getting the sense from what you're talking about that this is like a documentary and not a drama.
Yeah, that's correct. It is. It's a documentary. It moves quickly. It's not very long. And the reason for that is because this is a resource for unbelievers, explicitly. This is for the non-Christian. The film was birthed out of a ministry that I have here at the University of North Texas. It's an evangelism ministry, and I thought, you know, I need to be able to put a gospel presentation on a media platform for people like college students, because the reality is they won't watch a film for 2 hours. You know, they won't watch a... there was another gospel presentation that we could use, but it's a bit long, and you know, I thought we need something that is concise, that is condensed, that's to the point, and that people will look at and say, okay, I can watch this. You know, this is I think it's just a little over 30 minutes or maybe a little under, but it's right around a half hour, and I think anybody that's willing to sit through that is going to hear the gospel very, very clearly.
Well, Pastor, thanks so much for being our guest. Again, what's the name of the film, and where can people watch it?
Well, the name of the film is Unpopular, the movie, and they can just go right on to either Red Grace Media, that's a ministry of mine, redgracemedia.com, or they can just go on to unpopularthemovie.com. The reason why we're pointing folks to Red Grace Media is because part of the film is that, or at least the resource for the church, is the gospel tracks that we have made that go along with the movie, so that you can pass these things out anywhere, and anyone can get a hold of redgracemedia.com or rather unpopularthemovie.com. They can go right on there. They can start watching the movie on their mobile device right away, and that's why Red Grace Media is important, so that people can get those gospel tracks. And different resources that we offer there.
I'm sorry, did you say Red Grace or Red Grapes?
That's right, Red Grace.
Grace.
G-R-A-C-E.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
That's right. It's basically an abbreviation of Redemptive Grace.
Gotcha. Well, Pastor, God bless you, brother. Keep up the good work. We wish you much success with this, and we're glad to be able to promote it here.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. God bless you guys.
You too. Bye-bye. Who are we talking to there, Ed?
Well, this is Pastor Emilio Ramos. He's pastor of Heritage Grace Community Church, and this was his brainchild, I guess, his vision. The movie is titled Unpopular, the Movie. So
it's an unpopular movie.
Yes.
So the movie's titled
Unpopular. He's talking about Christians being unpopular. Hopefully the movie will be
popular.
Why aren't
we more popular, Ed?
Well, because Jesus said the world will reject us because it is rejecting him. And it's odd to say that unbelievers reject the love of God, because the love of God is transformational. It transforms us. And most...
Why do they hate us so?
Well, because we represent...
We're just a messenger.
Yeah, and that's what Jesus said. In fact, he said to the Pharisees, you reject me, but you're not just rejecting me, you're rejecting him who sent me. So it comes all the way, it goes all the way up the ladder. They reject us and they hate us because we are messengers of a message that says, you're not okay. Okay? You are in rebellion against God. You have to lay down your arms and repent and come to peace with God.
And so human beings don't want to hear that for the most part.
They don't want to change. They like their lives, they like their sin. And
so if we say you have to repent of your sin to be right with God, they say, mind your own business.
Yes.
Or worse.
Or worse. You're lucky if they say, just mind your own business.
Right.
Nowadays, they might punch you in the nose.
All right, we are out of time. Check out our Facebook page for today's issues. My thanks to Wesley for manning that position today.
I did a great job at that.
You did. And
we'll have you back. Next time, Walker is on assignment.
See you next time, everybody.